Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's a Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Westchester County Executive George Latimer, a Democrat. Welcome, George Latimer. Always great to talk to you.
Alan, always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, let's start with housing. Obviously, we're speaking on the week that the state budget is due, and one of the issues that we've spoken about is the need for housing in Westchester County and affordable housing in general. To that end, New York Governor Kathy Hochul was recently in Westchester County, pitching her proposal to build 800,000 housing units over the next decade. The housing compact would set housing targets for communities and offer state money to assist with infrastructure and other related needs. So what's your assessment of the governor's plan?
Well, let's break this down into a couple of pieces. First of all, the issue of housing is an issue that affects certainly Westchester, but it affects all of us, all across the state. The governor's plan talks about a 3% increase in total housing units in the downstate region, the MTA region, and then 1% increase all across the state. The goal is an admirable goal. It's a good goal. And to focus on housing is important. We've had a 6% population growth in Westchester County from the 2010 census to the 2020 census. And we've realized the need for additional housing in our home county. Every place is a little bit different, and the politics of each place is a little bit different. But the goal itself is admirable, and that's the first part of the compact. The question in the second part of it is, what's the best way to achieve this goal? And I would add that the important part of this is the affordability of the housing units. You can build market rate housing in suburbs like Westchester, Nassau, and Suffolk. There will be demand to use them, but you're not getting at the affordability problem, which is what happens for people that aren't Wall Street bankers, top litigators, corporate executives, and so forth. So to the extent that the affordability factor is necessary, then I think we're really focusing on the public policy need. Now what the governor has done in this program has put out a couple of different sticks. One of them is a mandate for more dense housing around rail stations, and the other one is the ultimate ability to override local zoning for particular projects if it is felt by a board at the state level in housing and community renewal that this should be done. And I think that has not received good support. We have seen in our county, in Yonkers, New Rochelle, White Plains, and to some extent in smaller communities like Portchester, Ossining, an embrace of housing, both housing units, market, and affordable, because we recognize there's a problem, and local government is responding to that. However, we do have a situation where I think if you try to put a hammer and say we're going to override your zoning, we're going to override environmental concerns and other situations, you're probably going to get less cooperation in order to get the units you want. So it's been my point of view on this, that the governor's goal is right, but that the implementation should not have this kind of third rail situation. And then I have to add, Alan, since we are in a world of both policy and politics, the folks on the other side of the aisle are adamantly opposed to any loss of local control, and they will make that a November election issue in 23, in which local people are on the ballot. So I'm very concerned that we're on the wrong side of the perception as well as on the content. We can get affordable housing, we can get housing, but we have to use a strategy that will work cooperatively with the communities, not with the threat of overriding their zoning.
Well, George Latimer, is that easier said than done?
Well, it's not easy in either case. We have, for 5 years in this administration of Westchester County, we have used what tools we have, the ability to incentivize through our IDA, our Industrial Development Agency, allocation of money for infrastructure improvement, allocation of money for land acquisition. And we've had some success, significant success, compared to the predecessor administration in Westchester, which fought affordable housing, went to court, and had a lawsuit. But I think there's a perception, Alan, and I think it comes basically out of those who are based in New York City. They intrinsically see the suburbs as racist, and that zoning is the tool of racism. That certainly may have been the case from the 1920s and previously, maybe even as late as the 50s and the early 60s. But now when you look around at Westchester County, you're not seeing that being the issue. To me, the issue in the suburbs of building housing is financial. It's affordability. And here's the problem. The land is so valuable, the demand is so great, that to get affordable housing, you have trouble competing with the market. The market rate builds a building of 200 units and sells it at top dollar because top dollar prices are still less expensive than Manhattan. And if you buy a train station, you're easily into the city. When somebody compares Westchester to other municipal metropolitan areas, I lived in Fairfax, Virginia. I lived in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia. I don't think our numbers in Westchester are unfavorably compared to Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. That's the main line of Philadelphia, Norristown, the area northwest of the city of Philadelphia. Fairfax County, Virginia has had an explosion in housing units, but they also have lots of tract of wide open land that they've been able to develop, and they don't have some of the environmental restrictions that we have because of our topography. So I think in a fair analysis of this, it is not easy to get the units you need by using the sort of cooperative approach, but I think you'll get them with the cooperative approach, and I think Westchester has been an example of it. Now, I admit Long Island is a different place. It's a different place politically. They've had different political results the last couple of times out of the box, and it could be that you have to customize a strategy for one suburb and a different strategy for a different suburb because of those differences.
So the question is, what is it that you need to build a house or build a housing community? You need money. Where are you getting it from? What about the legislature, for example? What's their role?
Well, I think when you're talking about general state policy, you know, the state can establish laws to make it more difficult or more easy to develop it with things like the CEQA process and so forth. But the building of housing begins with a site, a location. And in that location, the degree of density has to meet certain other criteria. Do you have the capacity to treat sewage? If you're going to build 50 units or 100 units on a particular site, do you have the capacity to make a connection? I can show you a site in Westchester County by a train station where there's an open piece of land, but there's no sewer pipe that reaches it because that portion of our county is pretty much on septic systems. And if you build a 100-unit building, you're going to have a damn tough time treating the sewerage. You may have issues that deal with road infrastructure. Some parts of Westchester County, and I assume this is true of the island, are in the middle of the watershed. And the Westchester County watershed is the drinking watershed that feeds into New York City. So you can't build in the watershed based on environmental concerns. So to me, it's site-specific. You find sites. The state and the county together can find sites that are developable, and then putting the additional money in that you need to bridge the financial gap. Then at that point in time, if you can develop the right kind of project, most of the communities, in my judgment, the majority of communities in Westchester will be supportive. Some won't. And of course, when the New York Times does an article and they go to one or two of the communities that are the least likely to do it, they create an impression that all of the communities are like doing that. But in fact, Westchester County has had more new housing starts than Nassau and Suffolk together. So I think our strategy works. I think the governor's highlighting of the issue is critical, but I don't think the big stick approach is the way to go. We'll see what comes out of the negotiating process because both the Assembly and the Senate, had the same attitude, which is that the big stick approach is not the best approach. Now, if you try a cooperative approach for a year or two or three and it doesn't get you anything, then by all means, consider every other option on the table. But I don't think we fully tried to do it the way that we're doing it in Westchester on a larger basis. And I think you'll get success if you do it the way we've tried to do it.
Let's talk a little bit about marijuana, weed, marijuana licenses. Will possibly be issued next week in your region of New York State. Are you prepared in Westchester County?
Well, keep in mind that when the state did the marijuana legislation to legalize it, they tasked the local governments with the capacity to agree to have a dispensary or to grow. They left the counties out of the decision-making process. So as it stands now, we serve as a partner to any local government that has approved having dispensaries in their community. The problem we've had in the interim between all of these regulations coming together and the laborious process of getting it together is a lot of illegal marijuana selling processes have popped up, and they've created a law enforcement challenge for the local governments, and then the county has a regional law enforcement in Westchester. The county police in Westchester are not the dominant police as they are in the Nassau and Suffolk environments. But we've had to help the local police enforce laws where a smoke shop is now also selling marijuana without having the proper licensing. So if the licensing comes out and the administrative process works well, I don't know, about half a dozen, maybe it's closer to a dozen communities in Westchester that have agreed to do the sales on this. We'll need some additional assistance from the county. But, you know, like anything that you roll out for the first time, it's going to be bumpy and difficult. Consider COVID. When we first started to deal with the COVID crisis, the first couple of months, it was trial and error. We did some things, and then, you know, we thought that a cloth mask was good. No, it's not good. Now we need a surgical mask. No, wait a minute. Now we need a K95 mask, KN95 mask. So we have stops and starts. And I think the same thing is going to happen as you administer the cannabis regulations. There's going to be you do this for a couple of months, and you realize this isn't the best way to work. But that relationship legally is between the state and the municipality. So the county is a helpful partner if we can be, but we're not the main entity to be able to administer what the state has created.
So where will the major cannabis pushback be? Who will it come from?
Well, look, I think you have, first of all, you know, some individuals who didn't support the legalization of marijuana, and their concerns are that this is going to aid you know, young people, even though it's not legal, you can't buy it legally if you're young, that it will find its way into young people's hands, and that it will cause the problems that come with addiction or drug use. That's a generic concern. And then, you know, there's sort of the concern that, well, if we sell this product in our community, we're going to attract people from other places, and we don't want that type of traffic, not just physical traffic, but the nature of people coming in to do this. So, but the state allowed each community to make that decision. So where the decisions have been made, yes, we will have dispensaries. Now comes the administrative challenge of who gets the license. And if you recall, the state in the original rule prioritized that they wanted to make sure that many minority-owned businesses were the ones that got these licenses. And so how that actually works in the real world, I can't tell you. I think it's going to start to happen in real world terms as they administer licenses. And then we respond to whatever the problems are that come out of that. And I expect, as I just said, there'll be a bumpy road. We'll have to figure out, you know, what works in the system and if there has to be changes and modifications. But when you have a state program, you have to go back to the state level of government to make those changes, even if we see a problem in a Yonkers or we see a problem in a New Rochelle.
We're talking to Westchester County, New York Executive George Latimer, a Democrat. George Latimer, what does being a Democrat mean to you in terms of what you have to contend with?
Well, you know, I grew up in a Democratic family. My mom and dad were born, and were young people during the Depression and young adults during the World War II years. And so I grew up in a household where the Democratic Party's philosophy was a philosophy for the average citizen, the working man. It was not the party of the elites. It was a party of the people who were outside looking in. And the neighborhood I grew up in the south side of Mount Vernon was primarily African-American, Catholic ethnic, for those of us who were not African-American. And the Democratic Party was our voice in a world where the establishment in Westchester County for many, many years was Republican and were those who were the country club set and the people who were more successful, business and wealthy. Now, you know, an issue to issue, you decide those issues based on the merit. But as I've gone into the public arena now these years, and as I've have served in the state legislature now in this position, to me, I have still a bit of a laissez-faire attitude about the way government should operate. We should do those things that the society needs government to do, and then stay out of those things that individuals can best do for themselves. So when somebody says to me, well, you Democrats want to tell us what to do, no, not particularly. Yes, we've had rules about wearing a seatbelt. We've had rules about smoking in a public place. Why? No, we don't rule you, but we want to do what's best for most people. If you want to smoke, don't smoke in a public place where other people have to inhale it. If you're going to drive a car, put a seatbelt on, because if you're in an accident, the hospital bills are going to wind up being paid by the society if you're so severely injured that you can't afford to pay for your health. That has gotten changed over the years. The Reagan administration, you know, sort of redefined what Republicans were. And now, of course, Donald Trump has redefined what Republicans are, and not, in my judgment, as a Democrat, in a positive way. I think there are people who hold views perhaps further to the left of mine, and they want to define what a Democrat is. And they want to say, well, you know, George Latimer, you're a suburbanite. You're not really a Democrat. You have to be a urban socialist from Brooklyn to be a Democrat. I don't say that they're not in the party, but they shouldn't say I'm not in the party. The party is big enough and broad enough to have different points of view, which we should, in a democracy, debate. And if the merit of the idea on the particular issue, Alan, makes sense, then we do it. I've governed this county. We're probably the most progressive administration that Westchester County has ever had, and with a legislature similar. And I would argue, if you look at our policies, the things we've done, clinic access law, Immigrant Protection Act, and a host of other things, we may be, along with maybe Tompkins County, the most progressive county outside of New York City. Certainly our election results have proven that as a Democratic county. Yet at the same time, we've cut property taxes 4 years in a row. We have a reduction in overall crime over the last 5 years since the end of the last Republican administration. We have actually used infrastructure money to fix parks and infrastructure. We honor our veterans, and I put in term limits on the county executive office. So those aren't considered liberal democratic positions. So I think there's a pragmatism that comes that, to me, represents what my parents loved about Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman. They were practical-minded progressives. They did things that the society needed to move them forward. And I'd like to think that's the heritage line that a person like me is in.
So interesting. I remember as a young man from Manhattan dating girls in Westchester County, and some of their parents always treated me like a poor city rat. So my question to you is, has that changed? Has that distinction changed?
Well, it has changed in Westchester, but I will tell you, my dad, Stan Latimer, came out of Brooklyn after World War II, moved up to Westchester looking for a job. Met my mom, who was born in Westchester, and I remember him telling me once that when he got one of his first jobs, he was a blue-collar guy, he was a maintenance person, worked with his hands, and he was told by his boss he needed to change his registration. He said, it's one thing to be in Brooklyn, Stan, and be a Democrat, but now you're in Westchester, you need to be a Republican. Well, that's changed in Westchester County, and of course, not only do you have a lot of people who are Democrats who've moved into here, from other places. But you've had a generation of Americans in this area grow up and attach to the Democratic Party. But I would say this, the Republican Party in Westchester is much less the party of Donald Trump than it is in other parts of the state or parts of the nation. Westchester County's Republicans still have much more of the Rockefeller, Jack Javits, Louis Lefkowitz type of element, meaning they are corporate executives. They have international business exposure and experience. They want to see low taxes, which we try to provide them. They want to see crime kept under control, but they are also pro-environment. And to the greater extent, they're pro-choice. So the Republicans of Westchester County have been more willing to vote for Democrats if Democrats can show them that we get things done. And I think that's why we've stayed blue when a lot of things around us have gone red. We've managed to provide for the Westchester mindset what the person who's a Democrat, but also the person who's independent, and many Republicans, what they feel comfortable with. And, is that a model for something beyond Westchester? It's hard to say because this is a very diverse state we live in. The Bronx, which is where I went to college at Fordham, and my first girlfriend was in the Bronx, and my first full-time job was in the Bronx. You know, the Bronx and Westchester are not exactly the same. But I think if you look at a statewide formula for what works policy-wise and political, if you isolate the suburbs, if you do things that make the suburbs feel like you don't care about suburban interest, you're going to push the suburbs, along with most of upstate, into the Republican category. And then you're going to go back to where we were, where winning a statewide election is a very dicey proposition. It'll just depend on what turnout you get in New York City. And in any given election, the turnout in New York City may not be strong. They may not be motivated by the issue of the day or the candidate of the day. So I think the bigger tent is the way to go. It's worked for us in Westchester. It's working in a place like Ulster County, and it can work in other places.
George Latimer, I guess I want to ask you about guns. There have been a lot of mass shootings. I take it you think about it because, you know, that's the kind of thing that it would give a guy like you nightmares being a prominent politician. What do you have any advice for us now?
Well, look, first of all, I believe that the Second Amendment, as is intended. I mean, you have to interpret the language of the 1780s into the 21st century of the United States. I think the intent of the framers of the Second Amendment intended for you, the individual, to be able to possess weapons of your use. And in those days, the weapons that you had, the musket, were meant for personal defense at home, hunting, the kinds of things that you might use it for. And so I think that, you know, the argument that the right wing makes that Democrats want to take away your guns, it's a bogus argument. I don't believe the Democrats, or certainly I don't want to take away your guns. I do believe there are certain weapons when you reach a certain level that do not belong in private hands. And when you look at the, you know, the AK-15, AR-15 platform weapons that are primarily used in military settings, which are, you know, the horrible of war, horrible elements of war, where you're shooting mass numbers of people and they're shooting you, having that in civilian possession is very dangerous. Now, somebody will say, I need this to protect myself from a home invasion. Well, the incidence of home invasions are minimal compared to the number of proliferation of those kind of guns. And while somebody says, well, a law-abiding citizen should have it, the person is law-abiding until the moment that they step into the Sandy Hook Elementary School, or law-abiding until the minute they shoot up a Nashville school, or Columbine, or Parkland, or all these other places, or go into a Jewish synagogue and decide that they cross that line. And you don't know that law-abiding citizen who is on the verge of becoming a mass murderer. So the better strategy, in my judgment, is to look at certain weaponry and say, these things help you protect, help you hunt. These things are weapons of mass destruction, and they should not be in the public domain. Would anybody countenance that you have in your personal possession a nuclear weapon? Would anybody say you should have a surface-to-air missile in your personal possession? Of course not, because these are weapons of war, and these can cause mass harm and danger. So to me, that's the philosophy of guns, that you have the right to have guns that you can use for personal protection and you can use for hunting and for those kinds of purposes. Yes, absolutely. But at some level, certain kinds of weapons should not be in personal possession.
So I wanted to ask you about the rise in anti-Semitism and racist acts in general. What are you encountering in Westchester County?
Well, we're seeing a rise in incidents, well, of all kinds. We're seeing anti-Semitic acts. We're seeing, you know, racist acts against African-Americans. We're seeing anti-Asian incidents. And, you know, I think there is a there's a growing coarseness in the society. I think some of it has been generated by what's happened over the last 5 or 6 years at the national level, where every night on television, you know, you're ginned up to hate a group of people because they're so terrible. And then you have some politicians who are trying to take advantage of that. And that has helped contribute, I think, to the rise in all these hate crimes.
You met with Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse earlier this week to discuss common issues facing your counties, including a tourism partnership. Would you fill us in?
Yes, briefly, we view that when people want to tour in this area of the state, they don't want to tour Westchester. They don't want to tour Orange County or Dutchess. They want to tour the Hudson Valley. So the Hudson Valley features. He has Legoland. He has West Point. I have Lyndhurst and, you know, Playland. And in Dutchess County, they have the FDR Museum. That we need to try to have a strategy of tourism that includes all of our sites together and present it not as my county, your county, but as us as a region. We think that's the way that the counties north of San Francisco identify themselves as wine country. Nobody knows if they're in Napa or Sonoma. They know that they're in wine country, and I think the same is true in the Hudson Valley.
Let's talk a little bit about opioid abuse. A recent report by State Controller Tom DiNapoli found there was 68% increase in opioid overdose deaths in New York from 2019 to 21. What's the situation with opioid abuse in your county?
Well, it's there and it's growing at some level. We benefited from Attorney General Tish James's settlement with the various manufacturers of these drugs, and that has put money in our pocket to help us deal with this. Our county police and our Department of Mental Health are working on strategies for public education. We've taken Narcan products and made them easily available in various parts of our county so that if there is an overdose, that under the right set of circumstances, somebody can be administered Narcan and bring them back from the dead. But I think a lot of it, again, has to do with societal issues that are much bigger than us. There are people out there that have been pushing drugs since I was a kid growing up in the south side of Mount Vernon. The willingness of larger groups of people to try meth, to try fentanyl-laced products and so forth is a sign of something in the society that's more than a county can deal with. But what we are dealing with, we think, is effective on the ground way as we have.
Well, that's so interesting. Do you ever feel frustrated by how much there is in your job?
Sure. I mean, there's no question that your reach always exceeds your grasp. And I have in this job, because I'm term limited, 2 years as we're speaking this interview, 2 years, 9 months and 2 days into my term. And then I will turn the car keys over to somebody else. And there are certain things that I'm just not going to get done in 2 years, 9 months and 2 days. I'm trying to get as much done as I can, because once I leave this office, I will drive by this county office building and I'll look up and I'll say, you know, I should have done this and I could have done that. And that is the way of life. But I want to do as much good as I can do while I can. And I'd like to turn the car keys over to somebody who has the same basic philosophy of government.
Well, I have great faith in you, George Latimer. That's the Westchester County Executive, George Latimer. And we thank you, George, for being with us. And we always appreciate it when you come by.
Alan, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262 or visit us online anytime at WAMC.org, or just schedule a podcast anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. Thanks for listening.